Good morning. I'd like to welcome to everybody the First Baptist Church of Logan. I'm glad you're here. We do have a couple announcements. One is that Aaron wants to meet with the ladies for a few minutes after service. And secondly, just remind everybody to be praying for Vacation Bible School. Vacation Bible School will be July the 8th through the 12th. So let's be praying for it every day. Let's think of children that we know that would want to come to VBS and their family. We are cooking, right? So the ladies will be having something to eat before Vacation Bible School every night. So you have no excuse to, oh, well, I had to work and I'm too tired and I got to cook, clean up the mess and wine. You don't have that excuse because the ladies will be cooking. You can come, you can eat. We'll have an adult class and you can enjoy Vacation Bible School. Amen? Everybody going to pray for it? Nod your head, yeah. God's watching. All right, any other announcements? Well, let's get our hearts and minds to worship God. Aaron's going to play some music and you should pray or meditate or think about the things of the Lord. Clear all that other baggage you got in your mind and heart out. And let's get ready to worship God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, as we open our service today, we seek your presence, Lord. We pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will be here working among us, convicting us, teaching us, giving us discernment. Father, we pray for our church and our outreach ministries and the things that we do to make disciples, and Vacation Bible School is one of those, Father, and we pray for it. We pray, Lord, for our teachers and our leaders. We pray, Lord, for the ladies that work so hard to cook. And we just pray, Lord, that you will bless our efforts to advertise, that we would spread by word of mouth, that we would have families come and be part of our Vacation Bible School, enjoy the week, enjoy the fellowship, enjoy learning more about Jesus. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our call to worship this morning is our sermon text, Hebrews chapter 11. We'll be on verse 5. Hebrews 11, 5, if you'll turn there in your Bibles. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God had taken him. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And when he went out, not knowing where he was going, by faith he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, and as many as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen them and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of that land from which they had gone out, they would have had opportunity to return. Let us pray once more. Father, please bless the reading of your word. Bless it as your Holy Spirit, Lord, would speak through me, that I would say the things you would have me to say. Please bless the reading of your word, Lord, that our hearts and minds would be opened to receive your word and to grow thereby. We pray in Christ's name and amen. We're going to turn to hymn number 607. And everyone's please stand. Before Aaron plays the music, though, we're going to have the responsive reading, page 607. Please stand if you are able. I will be the worship leader and the worshipers line. I want you all to read the worship participant, that's the second paragraph, and the WP, which is the fourth paragraph, okay? Then I saw a new heaven and new earth. I also saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared like a bride adorned for her husband. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Death, grief, crying, and pain will exist no longer, because previous things have passed away. Her radiance was like that of a precious stone, like a jasper stone, bright as crystal. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was made of a single pearl. The broad street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass.
All these peace forever.
be seated. Is it going to be a glorious day? Boy, I'm telling you, a couple of us think it is. Proverbs. In your bulletin, we have readings from scriptures. It's good, like before the song we read, the responsive reading. The people of God should read the Word of God, speak the Word of God. And we want to learn and know what we believe and why. So we're going through Proverbs. We're in chapter 14. We're going to look at verse 4. Now, in your bulletin, I put a little excerpt from the ESV Study Bible to help us understand. It says, if the strength of the ox is the means for plowing the ground to produce abundant crops, then keeping an oxen in a stable is a necessary part of the overall labor, even though it involves the unpleasant work of cleaning the stable. An empty stable may be cleaned, thus not requiring any unpleasant work, but it won't produce any abundance. So we're going to hear from the scripture itself and what he says about that, and then we'll speak a second about it. So Proverbs 14:4. Where there are no oxen, the manger is clean, but abundant crops come by the strength of the ox. And this is something for us all to hear today. Often in life today, we don't want the unpleasant, do we? We don't want the unclean. We don't want the effort, whether it comes to work or children or relationships or whatever it may be. We all want something for nothing. I had a professor when I was getting my master's from Marshall, Dr. Akihal. He said, you know, so many people clamor after things like the lottery. He said that you could receive all this wealth and not have to do anything for it. He said, and they don't realize that it's just a tax for people who are bad at math. Because you are more likely to be struck by lightning twice than to win some windfall. And the Bible's teaching us this principle that yes, work does come with some unpleasantness, but it's the way by which we be productive. And it's the way by which we can be fruitful in our life, which will bring joy, right, and happiness. Just as the study Bible said, that to reap that crop, you're going to have to do the work. Amen? Let's sing now to the Lord, hymn number 624. As always, we stand. If I ever forget to say it, you're supposed to stand to sing to God. 624, if you're able, would you please stand?
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have guided my soul for each song I have sought since Jesus came into my heart. Joy on my soul, like
Amen. You may be seated. Fun singing with a cold. It's a good time. Would our ushers please come forward? I'll be available to shake anybody's hand after the service. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, so much for your provision and for all that you do in our life. So much, Lord, that we don't even see or maybe we're not grateful for. But, Lord, we want to be grateful and we want to give back to you. And as we give back, Lord, from a cheerful heart, we ask that you'd bless this offering. You'd bless it to your glory. You'd bless it for the furtherance and welfare of our church and for the spread of your gospel. We pray in Christ's name and amen. Turn in your Bibles back to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, we started talking about faith last week, didn't we? We certainly did. And we talked about a little bit about how faith is described. We talked about how faith is defined. And we hear a lot about faith in the church, don't we? And a lot of people do get it wrong. And often we think of faith as something that's divorced from obedience. Or faith is something magical that we get our wishes granted, those type thoughts. But we heard last week what the scripture says about it. We also talked a little bit about Abel, didn't we? And how that we saw in Abel that faith is exhibited in worship. Meaning as him and his brother came to the Lord, Cain's offering was not accepted. Abel's was. Why? Because Abel came with the right heart. You've got to come to God on His terms. We do not get to define the terms. He has defined it. And so we know we're saved by grace through faith. We've also heard that, as we heard last week, also from the sermon, the just shall live by faith, right? So if the just are going to live by faith, what does that look like? That's what the sermon is today. Faith demonstrated. If we're going to live by faith, what does that look like? Often we want to be very theologically minded and we'll say, oh, the Bible means this, and guys will argue about what the Bible means. But the rubber hits the road is you got to live by faith. It's the living of the faith. You know, James said we've got to be doers of the word and not just hearers only. Amen? So the first person we're going to talk about today, so we have all these examples that are called, as we get to the end of this chapter, they're called the cloud of witnesses, aren't they? That have witnessed to us what faith is. So the first one is Enoch. Now it says, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, And he was not found because God had taken him. And we know the same was true of Elijah. They were taken in different ways. The Bible doesn't actually tell us how Enoch was taken, but it says he was he was taken. He didn't die like everyone else, did he? The Genesis says he walked with God and he was not. So God took him from this world in a way that we don't understand, but we trust what it says. But you know what? You may say, well, that's impossible. We don't understand that. But you know what's even more mind-boggling? Is how Christ would redeem us. Why would he save any of us? You know, a lot of people think that preachers get up in the pulpit and trying to woo people or convince people that Jesus needs them or that type of thing. And we're not trying to do that at all. We're trying to tell you that you need Jesus and that God has commanded that you believe upon him. He's not some old geezer that needs you. You need him. You are lost in sin. And so it should just boggle our mind how Jesus would even redeem us in the first place. I know me, and I don't know why he would redeem me. And if you look at yourself and you look at this world, why does he even care? But you know what's even just as mind-boggling? That as he redeems me, that I can walk with God. I can walk with God. How do I walk with God? Now we may think, well, you're not walking with God. I don't see it. Well, we walk in a way, it's far more than walking with someone and physically walking with someone. It's being reconciled to our Maker and Creator and walking with him in a relationship, being reconciled or bound with him, that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. We can walk with God. So what does faith look like? How do we demonstrate faith? How do we live by faith? Well, Enoch gives us the example of faith in fellowship. He walked with God. And he walked with God in such a way that he didn't even die in the normal way. He walked with God and he was not. It says he was taken. Now before he was taken, he was commended as having pleased God. And without faith, if you do not trust God, it's impossible to please God. Faith is trust. Faith is not mental assent. Faith is not, oh, I believe there's a God. Satan believes there's a God. It's not, well, I believe that Jesus died on the cross. Satan believes that Jesus died on the cross. It's not going to help him. Faith is trusting. I trust Jesus with my eternal soul. I trust in what he has done and the promises the Father's made in him. And I live my life accordingly. So my statement that I have faith manifests itself in how I live, how I walk, like Enoch did. And I can walk with fellowship. So daily we have to walk with God. Daily we have to trust God. We can't just go through the motions, can we? We just can't say that I have said I trust God. Do we walk with him? So each day, you know, while there are many great theological truths that we have to put our faith in, we also, each day, we have to step forward. If you've seen the Indiana Jones movies before they became unwatchable, if you watch the first three, right? If you watch the first three, the third one, The Last Crusade, and he has to go through these tests, doesn't he? And he comes to the one where it says, the just shall live by faith. It might be the just shall live by faith or something like that. But he's facing the chasm, isn't he? There's this drop off and there's the other side. And he knows he has to step out in faith. So what does he do? Does he just stand there and say he believes God? He believes there's a God? No. How do we know that he trusts God? He stepped out. So what does he do? He just sticks his foot out and his foot hits on the path. So there was a path there that he couldn't see with his eyes. He trusted God. So each day we have to live our life. We say we trust him. Well, then we're going to have to live by his commands. We got to live in obedience. We got to trust that what he says is right is going to work out for my life. When he says marry, a woman and trust that woman and be faithful to that woman and have children with a woman, and you all be faithful to each other and raise children and all these things and be honorable in that, I've got to trust that will work out for the best and live according to that, don't I? And not be unfaithful or do all these things, right? That brings total, just demolishes that and creates all kinds of problems for my life. So in everything I do, I got to approach that way. So I got to be careful, don't I? And I got to repeatedly reaffirm that trust in God on a daily basis. How do I do that? Well, just like if I wanted to be a football player, can I work out a couple days, throw the ball some, get some proficiency, and then I'd never have to practice again, would I? I could just go out and play the NFL, just show up for games, I'd be good to go. Or do I have to repeatedly get up? Tom Brady played a long time, and what did he always say? He was repeatedly stretching and calisthenics and all these things he was doing, repeatedly working his mind, working his body to stay proficient, that he was able to play as long as he did. So he had to repeatedly stay on top of his game and be everything he could be. So you have to consistently, if you were going to go fight war, hand-to-hand combat, would you show up without trying to hone your skill? Well, no. Well, if we're going to have faith and we're going to trust God, we got to repeatedly apply that. We got to repeatedly be in prayer to God. We got to repeatedly be reading the Word of God, that we are strengthened to walk with Him, don't we? And we trust Him in manner of life. So walking with God is having the character and principles of God in the things we face in this world. Do you hear any examples in the Bible where it says, well, now, Joe Bob didn't do jack for God, but he thought about Him every day? Do y'all find that anywhere? No. Everywhere you see people being commended, they were walking, living for God. And you do that through having that character and principles that He's taught us to have. And that comes through His power. It comes through His Word. It comes through prayer. Warren Wiersbe said, we must have a desire to please God. That comes through that faith and love for Him. And we've got to diligently seek Him, don't we? Verse 6 said, without faith it's impossible to please Him. So whoever would draw near to God, do you want to draw nearer to God? Drawing near to God is not just when I was 10, I came forward in church and I got baptized. Drawing near to God is an everyday thing. We must believe He exists, the Scripture says, and He rewards those who seek Him. Are you seeking God? I don't care if you're 7 years old, 30 years old, 150 years old. Are you seeking God daily? You thought, well, that's for pastors. We pay him to do that. No. I can't do those things for you. You can't do them for me. Are you seeking Him? Without placing our trust or faith, we cannot please Him. And it's just not a matter of this mentally thinking He's out there. It's by doing His will. R.C. Sproul said this. Listen to this. So many today are practical atheist. What's an atheist? Someone who doesn't believe in God. He said, so many today are practical atheists. We may be theoretical theist. What's a theist? A theist is someone who believes in God. So many today are practical atheist, although we may be theoretical theist. Our lives betray a practical kind of atheism, in that we don't live to please God. Why? We do not believe He is worth our attention. That's sad. We can have the attitude that somehow through a church or through a person or through coming forward, signing a card, my brother dunked me in the pool a few times when I was a kid, and somehow that makes me right with God. Or my grandpa was a good guy, or whatever it is that we think, or I'm better than the guy down the street. And we live in a world that's not very hard, is it? No. None of that will help us. What Mr. Sproul is saying, that there's too many today, is that Christianity is merely lip service. They are theoretical theists. They only believe in God with what they say. He said we're practical atheists. We live as if we don't believe in the Lord. That's not living by faith. Absolutely not. So Enoch shows us that we have to have faith in our fellowship, in our walk. It's prayer, it's the word, it's character, and living that out, isn't it? The second person, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned about the events that were to come, right? And he didn't see those things. He didn't watch video on it. He just heard the word of God, as we all hear the word of God, and he acted accordingly. It says, yet unseen, so being warned about events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. Noah shows us faith and obedience. Enoch, faith and fellowship. Noah, faith and obedience. God had warned him. God warned Noah. Do you think it's commendable that he listened and he saved his family? Has he warned us? Sure he has. Don't steal. Don't lie. Don't commit adultery. Don't covet. Right? Marriage is for men and women. Man for a woman for a man. You know, all these things. And he says, if you don't do those things, your life's going to be a train wreck, a dumpster fire. Noah heard the warnings and he said, hey, I'm going to play it ahead as God's told me to. Has he given us warnings? Has he told us how to live our life? Has he told us how to plan ahead? Has he told us what the warning would be if we don't? We just read in the last chapter that warning that he said, believers finish the race. Believers persevere. And if you don't persevere, if you turn away from Christ, the only thing you have to look forward to is fearful judgment. It's what he says. So Noah heard the warning and he lived in things not seen. We act as if God needs to prove everything to us. Noah labored. You ever think about Noah? He labored probably 120 years. A long time on the ark. For an event that had never taken place before. And his heart was moved out of fear, a reverential fear for God. Do you fear God? See, we've painted God a God that you don't have to fear, don't we? He's this skinny dude holding a lamb, bless his heart, right? Looks like he needs a cheeseburger or five. It's not Jesus. I think Jesus, even in his day when he walked the earth, wouldn't have been that. He was a carpenter by trade. But definitely in his glorified self, that's not Jesus. Do you have a fear for the Lord? His commands. We paint God as this crotchety old grandpa that just hopes somebody will love him. And like an undisciplined grandpa, he's just going to forgive everybody for everything for no reason. That's not the story, is it? He does love the world. But he loved him in a particular way. And it says he loved the world in this way. He sent his only begotten Son that whoever shall believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But it says those who do not believe are condemned already because they loved darkness, didn't they? They hated the light because their deeds are evil. Faith manifests itself in obedience. And you need to find out who the Lord is. Because if you study how holy God is, I can recommend a few. The Bible's the first thing you read, but I can read a few books. R.C. Sproul has one called Holiness. J.C. Ryle has one called Holiness. And if you truly see how holy he is, it clears up a lot of this pride and problems that we have. A lot of the lack of fear of God. Because we realize how sinful we are. Helps us have more love for one another. Helps us to care more for one another. Why? Because I know I'm just as bad as you are. In this trust, and notice this, y'all listen to me. Maybe you don't care what I'm saying. I'm tough, baby. I can handle it. Don't need to listen to you. But you know, Noah thought about somebody other than himself. And it says, through this faith, he saved who? He saved his household. You know, parents, grandparents, when we live, future parents, when we live like we should, or even children, and in the way we act, or kids, or young people, how we all live and act affects our families and everybody around us. Everybody. And we live in a culture that tells us, live for yourself and be as selfish as you can be. And it doesn't work out well. It doesn't. He this trust not only saved himself, it saved his family. And he not only saved his family, but what else did it say he did? By this he condemned the world. Because they were shown what they needed to do and they wouldn't listen. They wouldn't listen. He was a constant witness. So there is nothing wrong with, of course, we have to preach the gospel. We have to verbally say that. There's nothing wrong with your Jesus t-shirts or I go to the First Baptist Church of Logan or my daddy's a deacon or my mommy's a Sunday school teacher or, you know, we go to this bumper sticker, we go to this church. You know, I'm not saying anything's wrong with those things. But that's just spit in the wind if your life's a wreck. If you don't live by faith. See, actually, while there's nothing wrong with those things, we shouldn't need it, should we? The Bible says, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that is in you. What does it mean by that? It means people should be wondering why you're different. And people should be wondering why you have a hope that they don't have. But the people didn't listen. They continued in their everyday pursuits until the doom came upon them. And that's the way it works, people. Everybody will be crying, laughing, swarping, whatever, until that's it, isn't it? See, obedience is inseparable from faith. True faith yields obedience. The church today seems to be focused on material gain, whether it's stuff, money, physical health, big buildings, fancy whatever, a lot of people. I've told you all a bunch of times, I'd rather have this many people and it be healthy than have 1,000 in here if the whole church is off the track. That doesn't mean having a lot of people is bad, but that shouldn't be our focus. No one listened to Noah. But God recognized and rewarded his faith. Nobody may listen to me either. That's not why I'm not up here to feel good about you listening. I'm up here to discharge my duty and be obedient. And I have to remind myself of that frequently. That if I get up here and I have studied and I do what God has called me to do, the rest is on you. It's not my problem. If you say, well, I don't understand what you're saying, well, then study more. You know, it's not on me to do your work. It's not on me to live your life. And that's an encouraging thing for me, but it should be encouraging for you. Do what God's called you to do. Because obedience is inseparable from faith. So he became an heir of righteousness. You know, Noah was a fool for Christ, wasn't he? As many people, I'm sure, called him a fool. And then we have a list of several people here beginning in verse 8. And because he said he condemned the world, he became an heir of righteousness that comes by faith. And then in verse 8, we start getting more people. And this is faith in long suffering or faith in patience. And that's really a lot of our problems with this. See, I'm up here just preaching a wing bang sermon, but it's hard to be patient and listen, isn't it? Get sleepy, stayed up too late for watching the hockey game, right? No, I was. Long suffering. This would work for us if we could hit it real hard for a few minutes and then relax, right? You know, the problem you all have had with what I've said so far is that daily part, isn't it? Daily. In the midst of the problems, you know, Isabel and Elle just won't act right. They're driving Darren nuts. And it's hard to stay on track. I'm just kidding, ladies. Smile. They didn't even hear what I said, I don't think. Darren was laughing, and they looked like, I hate you. It's that everyday life that's tough, isn't it? It's the problem. It's the co-workers. It's the boss. Maybe we're the problem. But it says in verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place where he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. You think Abraham had it easy? You think you have it hard, right? Well, he just don't understand. He don't have my problems. Abraham didn't even know where he was going. But he took up his family and he went. So did Isaac. So did Jacob, didn't they? By faith, he went to live in a land of promise, as in a foreign land. He went to a foreign place, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Aaron would be all for it. You want to pack up and go live in tents, Aaron? She don't like to camp. For he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. He wasn't looking to the earthly, ladies and gentlemen. What's wrong with a lot of us today as Christians? What's wrong with a lot of our churches? We're looking to the earthly. It's not hard to figure out we are, because we're structured around entertainment. We're structured around making promises about, say, the magic verse. You all can put your money in the envelope at the back of the service and you'll have a great week, right? That type of talk. Send your money to Michael Hatfield, right? And you'll be blessed beyond measure. He was looking not to the earthly, but that city made by God. Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking to something far better than this. And amen! Who wants this to be all there is? Not me! I mean, people act like they're looking for the fountain of youth. Man, what's wrong with you? I think we should jump on old age with both feet. Because one day I want to get out of this place. And I love my family and I love you and I love the people around me. But like Paul, we don't want to be here forever, do we? Man, we're looking to something better. How many times is the book of Hebrews reminded, this writer writing to this church saying, do not look to the physical. Don't look to the earthly. Don't turn back. Look to the spiritual. And Paul in the New Testament uses Abraham as the example of how salvation works. He trusted God and he acted accordingly. Verse 11, by faith Sarah herself received power to conceive even when she was past the age. What does it mean by past the age? If you're having a hard time figuring it out, Sarah was so old that none of her female reproductive parts were functioning any longer. Yet she got pregnant and she had a child, which was a miracle of God. She considered God faithful who had promised. Sarah trusted God to do impossible things. Do you trust God to do impossible things? You know what? I think the church today trusts God to do impossible things. But you know what I think the problem is? We got the wrong idea of what impossible things are. See, we want to trust God to do the impossible in giving us the earthly things we want. Right? God can do the impossible. I don't want to be sick. God can do the impossible. I don't want to work, but I want money to come to me. Right? I don't want to take care of my body, but I don't want to pay for the steward I've been. I don't want to work very hard, but I want to be wealthy. God, please pay my bills. Lord, I don't want to act right. I want to treat my wife poorly, but I want her to be nice to me. That's the impossible we want, right? Amen or ow. But what he's talking about here, what is the impossible? The impossible is the good Lord can change Logan. The good Lord can reach people. As we take the gospel out, people can be saved. This can be a better place. People can be redeemed. It's happened before. Why do you think Europe and the United States is so blessed? Now we're seeing the end of that blessing as we are turning to very abominable, sinful practices. And we're seeing the decline and downfall of those blessings. But he can do the impossible. The greatest miracle we could ever see is God converting an old, crusty, sinful, hardened heart. That's the greatest miracle ever. Verse 12, it says, therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, Abraham, he was beyond years too, were born descendants as many as the stars of heaven, as many as the innumerable grains. God promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to multiply them like the sands of the sea. Has it happened? Yeah, it has happened. They're everywhere. And despite the world's efforts, you can't do away with the descendants of Abraham, can you? And not only is there physical descendants, his descendants are far more, because the Bible says the true descendants are what? The spiritual descendants. All that are in Christ. So then it says, verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the things promised, but having seen and greeted them from afar, and having acknowledged that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. They lived as if their home was in heaven, not here. And they didn't even receive the promises that we've received. And so if you think Abraham was better off than you, or they had something you didn't have, you have more than they have. Abraham didn't have the finished word of God. Abraham didn't have 2,000 years of church teaching. Abraham didn't have any of that. You have far more than he had. What's your excuse? What's my excuse? For people who speak thus make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. Are you seeking a homeland? What are you seeking? If you're seeking the things of the world, it's going to let you down. That don't mean we don't live in the world. It don't mean we don't go to school, get an education, work, love, live, be married, have kids. It don't mean that. But what are you doing those things for? And how are you doing those things is what the difference is. If they had been thinking of the land from which they had gone out, they would have opportunity to return to it. So Abraham didn't go back to where he would have been from. And we're not to turn back either. He says, don't turn back. It's what the whole book of Hebrews is about. And here he repeats it. Abraham didn't go back to where he was. He kept moving forward. Verse 16, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. There's something better. That's what we're preaching. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his only son. Abraham believed God so heartedly that when God said, sacrifice your son, Abraham would have done it. But God stopped him. Not because God didn't know how faithful Abraham would have been. Abraham needed to know how far his faith would go. Verse 18, of whom it said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. He considered that God was able to even raise him from the dead. So why was he willing to do that? Because he knew that God had promised that Isaac would be fruitful. So he knew that even if God had to raise him from the dead, Isaac would go on and do the things that God had promised. By faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of his sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. And by faith, Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave direction concerning his bones. Even though Joseph had lived out after God, after all of his troubles, and he was in Egypt, and he had all of Egypt before him, when Egypt was powerful and wealthy, when Joseph was dying, he told his children and the children of Israel, he said, when you all leave here, because you're going to, God's going to deliver you. You take my bones with you to the place God has promised. Even in all his wealth and power in Egypt, he was looking on to a better place. Let me tell you, the wealthiest, most powerful person that ever lived, with all the power and the women and whatever, It doesn't compare to what we have in Jesus Christ and what the Creator has prepared. Amen. If He made this and He says there's something far better, I believe Him. Amen. But what that should do is that should influence how you walk, how you live out your faith. The ground of salvation in the Old Testament was the merit of Christ, just like in the New Testament. True faith, true trust is this fellowship with God, word, prayer, meditation. It produces obedience, but it enables us to be patient, and we absolutely need it, don't we? How many of you all want to quit on a regular basis? How many times do you want to give up and throw your hands up? We quit trying, right? In our relationships, in our job, in our work, in our church work. How many? We all do, don't we? I've told you all a bunch of times, I want to quit all the time. But that's part of the struggle, isn't it? We need to each day renew that trust in God and say, I'm going another step. Amen? So all of these witnesses are faithful witnesses to God's faithfulness. So I wanted you to look at them and what they did. But even more so, as I'm closing the sermon, I want you to look at how God was faithful to them. Why can we say these things about Abraham? Because God was faithful. Sarah, Isaac, Jacob, all the way to Joseph. He was faithful, wasn't he? If he was faithful to them, it gives me confidence he's going to be faithful to who? He's going to be faithful to me. They give us as an example. And what it should say to me and to you is to those who will listen and be convicted, have conviction and trust in God, then there's going to be that blessing and that looking forward to what God has prepared. But if you will not listen, there will be condemnation, won't there? So I ask you today, we're going to turn to hymn number 603. What is your trust in? Well, here for a number of decades now, we've been trusting in the secular world. We've been trusting that we all came from monkeys. We've been trusting that you can do anything you want and there will be no repercussions. How's it working out? Not too good, right? Won't you try it for a while? Try reading your Bible. Try praying. Try walking in the path that God has told us to walk. Can't hurt. Hymn number 603, when we all get to heaven. This is what we're looking forward to. Let's all stand.
See Jesus, we'll see. Bow our heads.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this scripture passage. That, Lord, we make it so complicated. We got to understand every theological concept and hold our head just right and have the right entertainment at church. And when it's just simply walking in faith each day, growing in our relationship with you through prayer and the word and through fellowship. Oh, Father, may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of you, God our Father, and the blessed communion be with us now and forevermore. In Christ we pray, and amen.